Our scripture lessons this morning are found in your bulletin. Always, we print them for you so that you can not only follow along should you choose during worship, but also to take them home, to reread them, and to reflect on them during the week. They will also be on the screen. Two passages. The first is from Matthew. This is our core passage for the sermon series that we are currently in, Living on the Rock. We're reading it each week in all services. And then a second passage relevant to today's message from Paul's letter to young Timothy. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And from Paul to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. What's your opinion? The better vehicle, Chevy or Honda? What's your opinion? What's the best movie of all time? What's your opinion, sports fans? Who was the best NFL quarterback in the last 5 years? What's your opinion? Fish or chicken? You have lots of opinions, don't you? We all do. In fact, everyone does. I could ask 50 questions, and most of you would have some opinion on most of those questions. Everybody's got lots of opinions. And these days, it seems we're telling our opinions a lot more. Today, we're going to think a little bit about this matter of opinions over and against convictions or beliefs. And we do so under our sermon series, The Banner, Living on the Rock, as we are mindful of Jesus' very clear teaching that the wise person who follows him builds their house, not a physical house, but their spiritual house on rock. But the foolish person will build their house, their spiritual house, on sand. And the sand will see a crash, and the rock will hold. Our specific theme today about opinions and convictions comes from Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young protege of Paul, think maybe 25 years old or so, maybe Paul 55. Paul wants to teach and encourage this young man to spread the gospel to the infant church. And Timothy was all in. And so Paul writes two letters. We see a portion today from his second letter. Paul writes two letters to Timothy, and you can sense the spirit of encouragement and guidance from a mentor to a young soul. Paul wants first to remind Timothy of the dangers of opinions. The dangers of opinions. And he does so with these words. I read them again so that you can get a sense of what Timothy was facing and how Paul was reminding him of the dangers. He said, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." I love that phrase, what their itching ears want to hear. "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." So Paul, in this specific instance, is referring to a group of teachers that were very common in his day called sophists. These were teachers, and they really weren't teachers. These were just people who went around telling folks in towns and villages that "I will teach you for a price." And people would pay them, and they would teach them or tell them their opinions, because they weren't really teachers. And often they were telling them things about God that weren't true, or telling them to worship false gods or to follow other doctrines than the doctrines of Christ. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to be aware of these people who basically were going out telling everybody for a price their own opinions. I sometimes wonder if modern day talk show hosts aren't just the modern day sophists from the biblical era. We seem to want to sit at the feet of people and listen to what they say because they seem like experts. And so Paul is warning them to stay away from and be cautious of these teachers. Why? Because a lot of people will want to listen to them. They'll want to listen to them because what they say is easy, it's comfortable, it fits the desires of their heart, as Paul said. We like hearing what fits with our preconceived ideas, which is easy, things that are easy, things that are comfortable. We like those things. Today, opinions are dividing many places in our society. Oh, it's one thing for us to talk about whether you like Chevy or Honda. That's benign. But you know, as do I, that political conversations and opinions and religious conversations and opinions and conversations about immigration and all kinds of things are dividing our families. You know that some of your friendships have been strained because some people are so strong in their opinions and won't stop telling you what they are, trying to convince you to think their way. And you know that some of our faith itself has been diluted and distracted and detoured because people are giving their opinion and trying to twist certain scriptural passages to fit their liking. You see, opinions are all about yourself. It's my opinion. It's about me. It's about my. It reminds me of the Hollywood actress. This famous actress had been in a great movie, and one evening she was at a dinner party, and everybody gathered around her because she was so famous and everybody knew her. And so she was holding court in one part of this big, gorgeous ballroom, and everyone was listening to her, and she was going on about her part in the movie. She was going on about the dinner she had with the great actor the night before, and on and on and on about all of her accomplishments on screen. Then she said finally, "Well, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of my dress?" Some people cannot get past themselves, and their opinions are all that they have. And I warn you about your own opinions, because all of us have some strong feelings. But opinions are not faith and are not convictions. Someone once said that popular opinion is the greatest lie in the world. And so be very cautious if you are enticed by what seems to be popular opinion. And these days in social media, this issue is especially exaggerated. So folks who put items out there on social media, often about benign things in your lives, your dogs, your house, your family, whatever. And then people are surprised when folks not only give likes and say that's nice, but also come back with criticism. "Your dog's not pretty, he's ugly." That stuff happens. And I wonder why we are surprised when we put ourselves out there in social media, essentially inviting everybody else's opinion. Everybody else. And I wonder why we care. I really do. It's as if I walk out on Main Street after church, and I stand there, and I wait for people to walk by. And I ask every person who walks by, every stranger, or if I might know them, but every person who walks by, I take out a picture of my house. And I say, isn't this a nice house? Look at the picture. What do you think of my house? Why do I care their opinion of my house? And why do we put so much emphasis and care so much about what people say or think, or even why we solicit their opinions about us out in social media, when often it just doesn't matter, and sometimes it is unhealthy, unkind, and ungodly? Why sometimes do we care? Paul would talk about certain opinions as being particularly dangerous. And he talked about false opinions of truth. Do you know, in our day today, 66% of Americans are of the opinion that truth is relative. It depends on the circumstances. 66% of Americans. Also, 57% of Americans are of the opinion that what is right or wrong is a matter of personal experience. Talk about sand. You cannot build a life of Christian faith on those opinions about truth and right and wrong, that they shift, that they don't matter, that they're this one day and that the next. That is not truth. And Paul warned Timothy, and we likewise need to be warned. But then Paul tries to encourage young Timothy with one phrase in this passage. He says to Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Now, I did a little bit more research there because I've seen another version, which I liked better, that spoke to me more. It says, be steady. But that's so brief, so I went deeper. And I found that the Greek word in Paul's teaching to Timothy is the word nephe, N-E-P-H-E. And here's what it means. This is what Paul was saying to young Timothy. In the face of all these false teachings, these rampant, untrue opinions, he was saying, be vigilant, be alert, be awake, be on watch, protect yourself from danger. That's what the word means. Be steady means be alert, be on watch, be vigilant. That's what we need to do as well. With the rampant number of false teachings and strange opinions that are out there in our culture. At the beginning of the letter, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, keep hold of the truth that has been entrusted to you. And what is that truth? Well, of course, the truth that's been entrusted to young Timothy, first from Paul, also, by the way, from Timothy's mother, Eunice, a faithful Christian, is the truth about Jesus Christ. Hold fast to that, he's encouraging Timothy. And he's encouraging us. Because Jesus Christ and the truth of Christ are the solid bedrock foundation of our faith. If you are a Christian, that is where you need to stand, on that truth, and that truth alone. Some of you may get the Parade magazine in your newspapers. Anybody get Parade magazine, that little flyer? In that flyer is a column by Marilyn. It's called Ask Marilyn. Anybody read that stuff? Yeah, it's been around for a long time. Marilyn's last name is Savant, ironically. And Marilyn Savant answers questions. The reason she has this column, her IQ has been tested at the highest ever recorded, 228. Whoa. Well, somebody asked her a deep spiritual question, and here is how she answered. She said, the most powerful idea is truth. Whether we know it or not, agree with it or not, doesn't matter. Truth is still truth. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am the truth, and I am the way, and I am the life. Wise living sits on the bedrock of Christ's truth, on what he taught and who he was. And you have to decide, and sometimes we have to re-decide back and forth in times of doubt, what you believe about this Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the truth, and like we talked about last week when we quoted C.S. Lewis, that famous writer, atheist to Christian, who had to decide in his examination of Jesus whether Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord, and in his examination of Jesus, came to faith and determined he wasn't a liar, he wasn't a lunatic, so he had to be the Lord. And Lewis went on to a life of faith from that. You and I also have to decide, is Jesus lying when he says I'm the truth? Is he nuts? Is he a lunatic? Or is he truly the Lord, the Son of God? Is he the truth in who he is and what he did and what he said? And if you continue in my word, Jesus would later say, you are my disciples and you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? Make you free. I was saddened by this statistic. 59% of Christians believe that moral truth is absolute. 59% of Christians believe that moral truth is absolute. Why was I sad? Because the number wasn't higher. But I trust that you are among the 59%. Because truth is truth. And nothing sways it, no matter what other opinions may be. I got a phone call a while back on a Friday night from a college student. This college student was baptized by me at this altar, confirmed by me at this altar, and then headed off to college. This Friday night, in the middle of her first semester, she called me, very distressed. She said, I've been going to classes, and I have a professor who's telling us there is no God. I have a professor who's telling us Jesus is just a myth, that the only thing we can really count on is science and the facts that science provides. And he's saying this over and over. What do I say? What do I do? And we talked and we prayed. This is the culture in which we live. And especially if you have influence over younger souls, children or grandchildren, be sure to be alert to counter some of these very difficult and damaging opinions that are coming from around our young people that are denying the truth of what we believe. On the other hand, a wonderful story now from a college student who also was in her first semester. She had gone off from a good Christian home and was in the first semester. In fact, it was the first day of class. And I want to read to you the dialogue between this young woman and the professor. So the dialogue begins when the professor welcomes all the students to the class. She says, I want to lay down some ground rules. First, since no one has the truth, you should be open-minded to the opinions of your fellow students. At that point, a young woman raised her hand in the class. It was Elizabeth. Yes, you have a question? Yes, I do, Elizabeth said. So if nobody has the truth, isn't that a good reason for me not to listen to my fellow students? After all, if nobody has the truth, why should I waste my time listening to other people and their opinions? What would be the point? Only if somebody has the truth does it make sense to be open-minded. Don't you agree? The professor comes back. No, I don't. Are you claiming to know the truth? Isn't that a little bit arrogant and dogmatic? Elizabeth had an answer. Not at all, she said. I think it is dogmatic and arrogant to assert that there's not one person on earth who knows the truth. After all, have you met every person in the world and quizzed them exhaustively? If not, then how do you know? In fact, I believe it's the absolute opposite of arrogance to say that I will alter my opinions to fit the truth whenever I find it. If I happen to think I have a good reason to believe I know the truth and would like to share it with you, she said to the professor, why won't you listen to me? Why would you automatically discredit my opinion before it's even spoken? I thought we were supposed to listen to everybody's opinion. With that, the professor replied, Well, this is going to be an interesting semester. To which Elizabeth said, "Ain't that the truth?" There will be those with itching ears who want to listen to the myths and the false teachings and the strange opinions of others. But Paul says to us, be vigilant, be alert, be on guard, be discerning for God's truth, the way Elizabeth was. When I took my first plane ride, I was about 17. And I was very nervous. My father wanted me to go with him to a funeral out in Chicago. And so in this first plane ride, we flew just from Newark to Chicago. But I was scared to death. I had never flown. I was so scared that when the plane banked left, I leaned right. Just to balance it out. You know what I'm talking about, pilot. Well, when we landed, I was so relieved. I didn't kiss the ground, but I remember saying to myself the phrase, good old terra firma. Terra firma, solid ground. Friends, may you have the wisdom to live your lives, to make your choices, to speak your words, and to be yourselves as Christians based on the solid ground and the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for Jesus. How amazing it is, Lord, that you would send among us your Son to reveal your truth. So help us, Lord. Help us to be vigilant and careful in the midst of a world of many, many strange opinions and contrary ideas to the faith. Help us to hold fast to the truth, to live by it, to speak it, to share it. And help us to know, O God, that that truth will be sure in all times. We pray this because of Jesus the Christ. Amen.